when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, hey, forgive me. I was too busy talking to Miss Patty during the break. I usually tell people, hey, like you wouldn't know, we're transitioning into the second hour now. But that's where we are now. We're in the second hour of Blood River Radio. And y'all know who I am, Eddie the Bobber Deer Miller. And now we have our second guest of the night. And y'all have heard me talk him a lot. Old Gene Andrews, the Bitter Ender. We refer to this fellow as the fact checker. And he will sure fact check you in a minute, in a New York minute. Sometimes we call him the Bearded Wonder. You've also heard me say we met him. First time I saw him was in Wetumpka, Alabama, in June of 2017. He's the one that signed me up to get in the League of the South. Y'all probably heard me say that several times, especially the people who've been listening to Blood River Radio any length of time. Also, you probably also heard me say, if you've been listening any length of time, that I met Rich and some other fellows, Matt Goodwin, Gene Andrews, and Simon Roach. They picked me up in Cookeville, Tennessee on the 11th of August of 2017, and we rode to Charlottesville with them. And also, a little bio here, the guy... Don't hold it against him. He's not a Yankee, but he did go to Vanderbilt. He's a Vanderbilt grad, and he took stuff like Greek. You know, I mean, he really did. So, but he anyway.
And Latin.
And Latin. Greek and Latin. And he's agreed to come on this redneck show. When I used to be on Political Suspoo, me and James would talk about, we had a vocabulary of about 50 or 75 words, and we have to gang up on Winston Smith, who was a wordsmith and could talk circles around us. He was a lot more intellectual than we were. So anyway, we have this intellectual warrior on tonight, a.k.a. the Bearded Wonder, Rich Hamblin. How you doing tonight, Brother Rich Hamblin?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Eddie. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good for no geezer. Getting over that little heart thing I had. It was a week ago today. Got that little. I know you've had dealt with similar things like that. Has a little bout with supraventricular tachycardia. I have to go into the VA. I'm going to get that thing fixed because I'm getting ready to run my next marathon. I had one. My doctor friend told me that I'm living proof. There's no food like an old food. But hey, I'll do it till I die. But anyway. As you well know, dear brother, I do consider you a brother. We forged a force in the fire. I knew you were a good guy before you went there, though, when I met you in June of that year of 2017. But, well, as you know, we're closing down the August, which is the month of Charlottesville, which was the day it happened. The Battle of Charlottesville was the 12th of August last weekend. And we had a bunch of people on. And so tonight we've had three guests. We're into the next week. We'll do it one more time. We'll do it one more hour next week. We're supposed to have Dr. Michael Hill on. And I believe that Sam Dixon is going to come on with Dr. Hill. And then that'll be the first hour. I'm doing this for our audience. And after that, we'll lace Charlottesville to rest for another year probably and get on with some really, really hot topics, the things that are kind of like a nuclear war that we're faced with right now. But anyway, Rich, before we get going, is there any particular, before I start grilling this Vanderbilt grad, is there anything particular you would like to start off with?
Oh, gosh. There's just so much to be said about Charlottesville and its aftermath as much as anything. The conduct of the persecution of dissident political views by the federal government and even the state governments, for that matter, it's just, I don't know where to stop. You know, Charlottesville is ongoing. Some more people have recently been arrested for participating in that torchlight parade on the Friday evening under an obscure Virginia law, which the previous elected prosecutor in the city didn't think he could prosecute because it wasn't that good of a case. But a radical leftist got elected to the position, and now he's prosecuting people under a law that basically has no statute of limitations, which is unusual. So Augustus Invictus has fallen under that rubric, and there's a couple other individuals that were made famous by photographs, and so it's you know, it's ongoing, and it's going. It's the whole system is turned against us, and it's you know, you see more and more proof of that every day. I mean, the persecution of Trump is a good example. I'm no fan of Trump. I'm no fan of Trump, but he's you know, they're bound and determined to make it so that he can't run for president by tying him up in the courts, and it's the justice system is broken. It probably has been ever since the beginning. I've become a more acute student of American history, and to be quite honest, the Constitution is a fraud, and it never was what it purported to be. And you know, and I've got both personal experience and my intellectual study to back that position up. I mean, it's and the reason we have the kind of government we have today is because it was exactly the kind that a faction of Federalists who managed and railroaded the Constitutional Convention into being, it's exactly what they intended to happen. And it lasted, I guess, ostensibly until 1861, and with the election of Lincoln and the ascendancy of the, you know, the Bolshevik Republican Party, which you know, consummated in the war and the Reconstruction and the remake of everything, and it's just gone. You know, it's just gone on and on and on since then. It's not something that started on the 12th of August. You know, it's been an ongoing event ever since the beginning of the country, really. I mean, when you look at it, the same Congress that adopted the Bill of Rights also passed the Alien and Sedition Acts, which...
That's right.
Which John Adams used to persecute his political opponents. So,
that's,
I mean, there's
true.
There's a little bit of the popular phrase now is cognitive dissonance about all this stuff.
Right.
And the sad thing is that, you know, very few people in the country know this kind of stuff anymore. It's rarely taught. And even when it was taught incorrectly. It was not taught truthfully. And you just follow the cascade of events, you know, on through the history of the United States. And it's just been one big scam against the people that actually make up the country and make it work. Sort of like that, you know, that new rage song now by, what's that guy, Oliver Anthony, his stage name, you know, talking about rich men north of Richmond. So, you know, I think there's a lot of anger building up out there, but whether it's going to produce anything, I sincerely doubt.
You know, I'm notorious for going down rabbit trails, because I was going to refer to even earlier in what you mentioned, Rich, if you're the student of history. Now, even with the sainted George Washington, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he kind of break the Constitution? He declared war against the whiskey, the guys who were making whiskey in western Pennsylvania.
He was a monarchist. He and of course, Alexander Hamilton was his chief lieutenant. And then when the federal government tried to impose the excise tax on the production of whiskey, which
right.
was one of the few cash crops that the farmers were able to produce, you know, they raised up an army, and Alexander Hamilton was appointed commanding general, and they went to arrest all these individuals, and Hamilton wanted to hang them all
Damn.
For resisting a tax. But that's just one of the chief flaws of the Constitution, which is it's unlimited ability to raise revenue. The other is the necessary and proper clause, which can be, and a commerce clause. Those three things can be interpreted, you know, pretty much any way that a tyrant wants to interpret it, and that's what happened. Washington was a figurehead. I think it's pretty conclusive. He didn't really run the government. Hamilton ran it.
Was Hamilton, was he Jewish?
If he wasn't Jewish, he came real close to it because he was from Jamaica. There's rumors that there was Jews in his bloodline. He went to a synagogue school. So there's it's probably a pretty good chance that he was. I'm going to have to look at Aaron Burr in a different light because I think he did the country a service by shooting that fellow.
Shooting damn right. Well, you know, and you can also correct me where I'm wrong. I think Alexander Hamilton was the man that didn't he? If he didn't get the central bank started, he wanted to.
He did. He and Robert Morris had the Bank of North America, which they used to embezzle monies that were provided by the King of France to fight the war against the British. And then, it's a whole complicated issue. That's like the issue of ex post facto laws. That was put in the Constitution because the conspirators didn't want to be prosecuted for their financial malfeasance during the Revolutionary War.
Dear Rich, Brother Rich, we got to go to our quick break. We'll be right back after this break. Hang on, folks. Don't go back to the Bearded Wonder. Just 1 minute.
Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. With that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this time goes so fast. It just seems never enough time. I remember I was talking to Nancy the other day. I said, I don't know how we got by with just 2 hours. And now I'm wondering, how can we cram stuff in? And it seemed like we're in a phone booth with just 3 hours. But then also, I've always said that, you know, there's only so much room to talk behind a microphone. Then what's going to happen if we don't get out in the streets and put what we say into action? This there's two ways. In fact, I'll repeat what I heard a fellow say the other day. I said so myself. Then I know it's kind of a rabbit trail, but I'm going to get back off this rabbit trail real quick. Everybody and his mama knows what's happened in this country. We've had a complete communist Bolshevik takeover. And just like Rich said, didn't happen just yesterday. It didn't happen in Charlottesville. But it's a complete, utter dictatorship of communism, Satanist. Out, the Democratic Party has become an out. Now, they're not no longer just Bolsheviks. They're Satanists, which is pretty much the one. Satanism, Judaism, Bolshevism, all the same damn thing. But there's a lot of things I'd like to ask Rich since it's Charlottesville month. I guess I'll ask him, Rich, what have you noticed that the country has just gone really to hell? You can name the academia, the universities, even the high schools, the media, you mentioned the banking, even the churches. What have you noticed anything that you might, it might could be rightfully said that Charlottesville was kind of like a switch? The people that the beast took off their mask, and that they had, at one time, the beast tried to stand behind so to speak, trying to stand behind a mask. But to give you a quick example, J. Edgar Hoover used to say, denied that there was no such thing as a mafia. There was no such thing as La Cosa Nostra. And then it became, now it's an open topic. But do you notice anything, Rich? And for instance, you mentioned banking. How about the morality in the street? Has the morality exploded? In my opinion, and I'm going to shut up after I say this. In my opinion, the LGBT, the perverted freaks have gone crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy since Charlottesville. Before Charlottesville, we had gay, lesbian, and bi. That was it. In fact, they have a headquarters downtown here in Memphis. But Rich, do you think it's gone crazy since then? Do you think I'm right? And could it be linked to Charlottesville? And after that, we could talk about something else you want to talk about. But what do you think about that, Rich?
I don't know about linking it to Charlottesville per se. I mean, Charlottesville certainly saw an acceleration because the enemy, if you whatever you want to call them, marshaled all their forces and they really took bold steps and they got away with it. So they were emboldened with it. I mean, they dropped all pretense of the rule of law. I mean, you know, the day before the rally, a federal judge in Charlottesville after being petitioned by Kessler and Sam Dixon and I guess the ACLU granted an injunction against the city of Charlottesville and forced them to allow, you know, to not revoke the permit and allow the rally to take place. Well, that didn't mean a damn thing to the people running the city. I mean, they went ahead with whatever they were planning to do, and since they got emboldened, by their success, things have accelerated, and it's blossomed into the Black Lives Matter riots, and it's blossomed into any number of things. The breakdown, all of these left wing communistic DAs that are getting elected in local elections, and deciding not to prosecute, you know, shoplifting, for instance, unless it's over $1,000 or, you know, all this stuff about letting violent criminals out on bond or with no bond and all this kind of stuff. And it's just absurd. I mean, I saw an advertisement for United Airlines, I guess it was. It says their goal is the next year to bring diversity, inclusion and equity to the cockpit, you know, and they're not going to hire any white pilots, you know, next year just to make up for the lack of what they think is, you know, this myth that diversity is our strength. You know, that's a lie. It always has been, and it's basically a communist mantra, I guess. But you know, this is, like I say, this has been going on a long time. I mean, the deep state, the people that are running the deep state, I mean, they had the nerve to assassinate a U.S. president on national television.
They sure did.
You know, with John F. Kennedy in broad daylight, you know, and then proceed to cover it up. And how is it covered up? You can tell because the autopsy on President Kennedy was falsified. The results were falsified. And you can't get that kind of stuff to happen unless it's from the very top. You know, so the government's been taken over. Lyndon Johnson, of course, was a crypto Jew, and he was in the pocket of Israel, as you can tell by the USS Liberty and everything else, and all the arms and equipment that was sent to Israel, you know, and starting in the 60s. And now it's it's like Pat Buchanan said, Congress is Israeli occupied territory, and you can't challenge that. That's just the way it is. And as far as the culture war goes, you got, you know, the schools have been taken over. Local control has been taken from the schools, and it's a national agenda being pushed down. Reagan swore that he'd get rid of the Department of Education, and he didn't do it. And it's just continued to pace since then. And, the pandemic, COVID-19, that was another big leap forward in whatever plan they've got. I mean, they pulled that off. And I'd say Charlottesville is important because it emboldened them, but it hadn't, it's acted like an accelerant. I mean, even the city of Charlottesville commissioned a report from a former prosecutor, federal prosecutor there in the city, the Heafy report, and he basically put the blame on the Charlottesville Police Department. That promptly got buried to the extent that was not even allowed into evidence at the civil trial in Charlottesville last year or year before last. It was called hearsay evidence. So, I mean, we can get into a discussion of the justice system and how arcane it is and how twisted and topsy-turvy the rules and regulations are and how difficult it is to get a – you cannot get a fair trial in the United States.
No way, Jose. Just flat
out. You know, the judges are paid by the government. The prosecutors are paid by the government. The jailers are paid by the government. And you're on your own, and you're not gonna win against them. Or if you do win, it's gonna be something on the margins, you know, that doesn't really affect anything. And that's, you know, that's just the way it is. And people need to wake up, you know, and tear themselves away from their video games and their social media, and their garbage diets, and start, you know, looking to God and looking to their family and making new friends and associates, because you know they're going to come for us. They're coming for a bunch of us already.
And yes, they're going to
increase it. They're going to increase that net as they increasingly militarize the police, and you know they send them all off to Israel to get training. And I mean, where do you think Derek Chauvin learned that technique of putting his neck on George Floyd's putting his knee on George Floyd's neck? And that's straight out of Israeli handbook. You remember all that flap about Abu Ghraib and the torture of Iraqis? Well,
yes.
You know, where do you think they learned those techniques? From the Mossad. You know, so it's there's a cancer in the world that needs to be eradicated, but it's a good question of how it's going to happen.
You know, boy, I tell you what, you touched a lot of topics there, but I'll also say that I believe it looks like the evidence will show in modern times. Charlottesville did show, and you said it, Rich, it showed the people in the government, people out of the government, the communists who are not in the government, the blacks, that they could get by with anything. And I'm still in awe. You brought up something that a federal judge, you know, ruled, said that we had the League of the South, the Patriots had a right to go in the park, told the city to stand down. Why was nothing done? I mean, that right there showed the whole world that there was no way in hell anybody like me or you are going to get a fair trial. It showed the world that we are on the list to be exterminated, in my opinion. I think we are on the list to be exterminated for once and for all. Am I wrong about that, Rich?
No, I think you're right about it. And I always wondered about that judge, what happened to that judge. I say this would be the first time I've ever heard of a federal judge allowing his authority to be flouted like that.
Yes.
By the city. Well, I asked Kessler, and he said, "Well, unfortunately, that judge died shortly thereafter."
So, what a shocker! What a shocker! Well, listen, Rich, thank you so much for coming on, guy. We're getting ready to transition. We're going to bring Brad Griffin on, and you got to come back again soon, brother. The time just goes too fast. People will be right back. Going to bring on Brad Griffin. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you. pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Leaders from Los Angeles and San Diego are assuring residents in their cities that they're prepared for Hurricane Hillary. Here's San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria.
While I know this storm in particular is bringing about a much concern and uncertainty, I want to reassure San Diegans that their city is prepared to respond swiftly and effectively to the impacts that this storm may bring and ensure the safety of all San Diegans.
Hillary is expected to make landfall as a tropical storm Sunday night or early Monday morning. Former President Trump is reportedly planning to skip the upcoming Republican debate and instead will be interviewed by Tucker Carlson. The debate, hosted by the Republican National Committee, will air Wednesday on Fox News. Trump previously signaled he might not take part in the debate as polls show him holding a huge lead over his 2024 GOP rivals. A new poll shows Bidenomics is not working for a majority of Americans.
Americans apparently not feeling good about their finances. Voters bashing Bidenomics. A new Fox News poll shows 52% of registered voters say the president has made the economy worse. The survey also asking Republicans the most important issue facing the country right now. The economy, number one, coming in at 48%, followed by immigration, crime, and election integrity. I'm Laura Winters.
Police in Philadelphia say one person was killed and six others wounded when several gunmen opened fire on a crowd at a street party overnight. Happened around 1:30 this morning, with some witnesses describing it as a shooting at a block party. The victims range in age from 19 to 51. No arrests have been made. The number of stabbings and slashings is surging across New York City, and experts are blaming left-wing reforms for the increase. NYPD data shows a 26% increase in the number of blade attacks citywide since 2019. A former NYPD sergeant blames the spike on legislation signed by then-Governor Andrew Cuomo. This is USA News.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow. Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code TRAVEL for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code TRAVEL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code TRAVEL for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
Smell of napalm in the morning. Smells like victory.
Dear Blood and River Radio audience, thank you for holding on. We've had some really great audiences, some really great guests. I think Miss Patty really was a big, huge surprise. She did a wonderful job. She's so fresh and so spontaneous, and she put like a mother's take on Charlottesville. Really a great. Come across as a really great mother, a great Christian Southern lady. Did a great job, and everybody has so far tonight. Now we have a guy who's been around a long time. He's no stranger whatsoever to the so-called movement, League of the South. Anything you want to mean, any type of people that we've always worked for global white, to fight against global white genocide. His name is Brad Griffin. So, tell us a little bit about yourself for the few people. It might be coming on new. We get new people pretty regular, Brad. Tell people a little bio before we get into Charlottesville.
Oh, well, I've been around for over 20 years now. I got involved in what was then the white nationalist movement in 2001. Got involved in Southern nationalism in 2010, 2011. And it really just been at the intersection of both worlds ever since. I've ran an online forum in the 2000s that was where a lot of these ideas incubated. And then I have been writing on my blog, OccidentalDescent.com, ever since about like 2008, 2009. So I've covered the last 14, 15 years on my blog. So quite a bit of history there. And got involved in the League of the South and the Council of Conservative Citizens, married my beautiful wife in 2013, coming up on our 10th anniversary. So
wow.
I've been in this a long time. So
there's one thing you have. I know a little bit about you, and I know you are a disciple of getting in the streets and doing street operations. And see, that's I've always said that. I've always said that. In fact, on our website, when we first started, we said that radio hosts should spend at least a significant amount of time in the streets doing what they talk about doing. And mm-hmm. I know that you have organized a lot of street demonstrations, and I know damn well you were in Charlottesville. for sure. And you were there at the same compound I was at. But anyway, we had the what I call the bearded wonder, Rich Hamlin, on right before you. I was asking him some questions, but we ran out of time. I'm going to ask you one of the questions that I asked him. Do you notice, in my opinion, I think Charlottesville served kind of like a almost like what they call it in chemistry, they call it an indicator. For instance, if you put iodine on a starch, it'll turn a mm-hmm. specific type of purple. Do you think Charlottesville was it an indicator of things to come? And Rich was talking about it, and I agree with Rich.
Oh, it was. Definitely.
The incredible lawlessness that the Antifa, our enemy, got by with. For instance, Rich just said, and I'm going to shut up after I do this. A federal judge issued a stay against the city of Charlottesville, saying they had to cease and desist, and we were allowed, they could not bother us. We, the Patriots, were allowed to go into Charlottesville, to the park there in Charlottesville, or the Lee Park. And it was like it never happened. They just totally flown
right.
it, and I don't, to this day, Brett, I don't know why he didn't send federal marshals to arrest the governor, the mayor, and the chief of police. Mm-hmm. So, that's setting that table right there. Take off, Brett.
Well, let me pick up. Well, like you were saying, we were doing street demonstrations, and that had been the case. We had been doing before Charlottesville. We had done street demonstrations going back to 2013. So we had been doing this for 4 years. And in those 4 years, we traveled all across the South. There was all kinds of conflicts over Confederate monuments. And everywhere we went, we had, you know, great receptions in all these small towns. We'd have little events in cities. We had a rally in Richmond, and like two Antifa came and just yelled at us from across the street. The cops weren't in there. It was just a completely different era, in my view. And then Trump was elected, and Trump's election in 2016 was a watershed moment that which we didn't fully appreciate, I think, at the time. So like in 2017, we pretty much continued doing what we had been doing before, holding these street demonstrations. But like after Trump was elected, there was just the atmosphere was so charged. There was, I mean, and there were precursors of Charlottesville. There was the demonstrations in Portland and Berkeley that got out of hand, where the police just like let mayhem ensue. And we had never seen anything like that. And so we went to Charlottesville, and I look back on it now, and it's Jason had this naive idea. I even talked to him about it recently that he could just have this huge rally in the single most liberal spot in the entire South. And I mean, the whole planning, everything that went in there assumed that things would go on as normal as they had, based on all our previous experience. And like you were talking, you know, comparing it to the iodine test, you know, that was the moment when we found out that, you know, well, things had really changed. You know, a federal court order is meaningless, right?
And then
we saw the lawsuits and the witch hunts and everything. And as James was just reminding people today, you know, people are being charged over the porch march for racial intimidation, whereas a black guy with a literal flamethrower who was there never even got arrested or never got sued or anything. And that's where, and not only that, but they went after the organizers of Charlottesville under this convoluted Ku Klux Klan Act of like 1871 statute. Now they didn't, the jury didn't dismiss that, but they've used that against Donald Trump himself. Like, I want to say one of the indictments invokes the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1870 or something like that.
God.
So absolutely. I mean, in everything that happened, us being deplatformed from the internet, that Antifa riots, the legal system not working for people, all that was, you know, incubated at Charlottesville. And in the years that followed, it is, you know, just blossomed. So what do you think about that? So I think we're in a whole different era. And the old rules don't apply.
I think you're right. I never do. You know, it never dawned on me so much is that I don't know why I didn't. And you mentioned that when everything was totally changed until Trump was elected president, I'm noticing where I live, this is a microcosm, you might say, of Memphis, Tennessee. And people talk about the South, how wonderful the South is, how great it is. Well, they haven't been to West Tennessee. They haven't been to Shelby County, Tennessee. I mean, we have more LGBT people here, more self-hating cucks per square mile than probably they do any place in the country. If there's any place greater, it would have to be Charlottesville, or like you mentioned, I think you mentioned Berkeley. I saw a photograph of Berkeley, of the police going. They had all these students that had been protesting there, and the police had like 2 gallon containers of some kind. It looked like, I guess it was like pepper spray, and they were just spraying these kids just like they were insects. And that's the way they got by with it. That happened in Charlottesville, and it's happened since. I noticed in Midtown. You mentioned Trump. I noticed what we call Midtown here in Memphis, which is the very heart. Mm-hmm. Of Sodom and Gomorrah. Matter of fact, we have a headquarters of it. Used to be LGBT. It was lesbian, gay, and bi before. And I told Rich this before Charlottesville, but since Charlottesville, it's exploded into that plus 24 other sexes, the hatred in Midtown. People I used to run with, people you used to know. This is anecdotal evidence, will not speak to you if they found out you just went to Charlottesville. I told them I just went to Charlottesville as a Liberty News Radio field reporter. But the hatred is that you can feel it. You can smell it. And that has happened since Charlottesville. And I wonder, I'm going to ask you this question here because I tend to ramble on too much. I don't understand why they hate Trump so much. I mean, what could he do? And I'm a guy who believes that, you know, it's always Jews all the time. It's always Jews all the time. To borrow a phrase from the guy who runs, Dave Gaharry, Money Tree Publishing. I borrow that phrase from him. And see, Trump was just recently appointed the king of Israel. If there's been a more Jewish, pro-Jewish president, more pro-Israeli president, I don't know who on earth it would be than Trump. You know, and it seems like why do they hate him so bad? Are we going to a break now, Brad? As soon as we come back from this break, I'd like you, if you don't mind, to answer that question.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for keeping us on the program. With I know you make a sacrifice. The money is really hard to come by. We could never have lasted as long as we have without your donations. But I'd like to thank our donors once again of this month. And also the show, we've dedicated the show to our little brother, our older brother, Mr. Buddy over in Jonesboro. Everybody knows who Mr. Buddy is, so I don't have to explain that. I mean, we're going right back to Brad Griffin. I've been knowing him for a long time. I've always thought he's a straight-up arrow, straight-up guy, and I'm really proud to have him on. By the way, would you like to – do you have anything you would like to plug? Now, do you have anything to do with the Occidental Quarterly, Brad?
I know the people who used to run that, or Dr. – I know McDonald, he runs that now. But no. Back in the day, 10, 15 years ago, there was a bunch of Occidental websites, Occidental Quarterly, Occidental Observer. Then I started Occidental Dissent. It's been around ever since.
Well, you got the Occidental. I guess I'm going to wrap trap. But is there anything like to plug? Can anybody get in touch with you? Because I know you're a brand new guy.
Yeah, just my website, OccidentalDissent.com. Let me respond to what you were saying.
Oh, please,
Previous, we were talking about why do they hate Trump, right? I mean, these people have a completely different view of Trump than these people. I mean, Trump was he sold out. He had his son-in-law in charge of foreign policy. He did tax cuts. He appointed judges that did things like ended abortion. I mean, when Trump got into power in 2017, he settled down and tried to be a normal conservative president. But these people just would not, I mean, from the beginning, and I've written about this, would just not let it go, right? It was right out of the gates, it was an absolute Russian, they convinced themselves for months that Trump had conspired with the Russian government to steal the election. Hillary Clinton, and made up all this stuff. And not only that, but they convinced themselves of it, that Trump was a Putin stooge and a Russian asset. And as time went on, the delusions just became more and more extreme. Like, Trump is a fascist dictator, while the whole country was exploding in riots, he sat in a bunker underneath the White House tweeting law and order. Didn't do the exact opposite of a fascist dictator, right?
Yes.
Or like a bloodthirsty neo-Nazi anti-Semite who gives the West says Israel can just take over the West Bank. But anyway, these people are so drunk on their own ideological Kool-Aid, I think, so detached from reality that even the big January 6th coup. Like, it was supposedly a coup. No one consulted the military, and a guy in horns ran around in the Capitol and then left when asked to do so. Right? That was how democracy almost ended. But these people are just so piped up on their own narrative that they actually believe this stuff, and that's how they legitimately see him, as a fascist, as a white supremacist, as a neo-Nazi who's channeling white nationalism. And I guess, you know, perception can be reality.
And he gave his beloved daughter to a Jew, and he's in there, and he's in a Nazi. But go ahead, it's just so laughable. But go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, even perception when it's false can, if enough people actually believe it to be true, in a certain sense, it is. And because of that, you know, they've literally broken the glass. They've done something that's literally never been done before, which is to charge a leading presidential candidate with 95 felonies, facing over 700 years in prison. And he's pulling ahead of Biden as of today. And they're going to try to pull, they're going to try to force this on the nation next year. And it's just going to be, people are going to hit the roof. It's going to fall on them like a ton of bricks, and it's going to be chaos. And
you think it will?
We've seen it coming for a long time. We've seen it building, and 2020 is going to be nothing compared to 2024, in my view.
Do you think, two questions, probably a rhetorical question. Do you think they will put Trump in prison? And if they do, do you think a lot of these MAGA people are going to come and raise hell and get in the street? What do you see coming becoming of that?
Are they going to send him to prison? Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Are the MAGA people going to lose their minds when that happens? Yes, I think so. I really do think it's going to blow over next year. And I think this is the last year. I said this about the Ameren conference. We go to these conferences. We see everybody. We have a meet and greet, and that's fun. And you know, we've done that dozens of times before. But this is, you know, savor this year, because this is going to be the last year for a long time. Things are going to be relatively calm, because after next year, it is going to be crazy. That's my view. That's my
it is. There's so many other things we could talk about that's going to come. It's going to be like a perfect storm. Instead of three hurricanes coming together, it's going to be 50 hurricanes coming together. But, you know, mm-hmm. you mentioned the Russia collusion narrative. It's my understanding that the judge, the lawyer that was, and my memory's not worth a crap for technicalities, but there was a judge who worked for the law firm that was working with Hillary Clinton that were responsible for getting this Russian collusion thing narrative going against Trump. I hear that she's been appointed a judge, one of the judges over this trial that they're giving Trump, I think, is it in Georgia? But then also I heard that, no, they've reappointed this young guy. He's only like 34 years old. He's only been a judge for 6 months. So, I mean, I wish we had more time to go into to point out just how the law has just been bastardized. I mean, what they're putting, and you can correct me from, yeah. Look what they're doing, Brad. And you respond to this. They're actually prosecuting him. The other 19 people that are prosecuting down there, they're the same reason they prosecuted the electors in Michigan, because they uttered and they published. They uttered the phrase, "We think the election was rigged," and they wrote in the electors in Michigan signed papers that they could be the electors. So they published it, and so that's what they did. They're being prosecuted for speak crime. Is that right, Brad?
Yes, absolutely. You're seeing all these, the legal system is gone. Things that Democrats have done repeatedly in the past are now like high crimes, like, you know, an attempt to thwart democracy. Every time the Democrats have objected to the election, or every time the Democrats say the election was stolen by Trump and Russia, you know, that's completely fine. And of course, we're at the point where the FBI is busting down people's doors and shooting them. This has happened not once, but twice in the last month. And it's going to incinerate. I mean, whatever level of, I mean, people are already doubting elections. I mean, this is just going to confirm that the system actually is rigged. Look, I mean, they're taking out the guy who's ahead of Biden, is going to throw him in prison like a banana republic. And the system's not going to come back from that. You can't have, like, that, whatever trust there is in elections is going to be gone after that point on the right. I mean, it's just, it's not trust in the legal system, trust in the federal law enforcement, the justice system, all that's breaking down. And we are so far ahead of where most people are just acting like everything's normal. No, this is not normal at all. This is an extreme crisis, and we're getting like very close to the climax of it, in my view. It's just going to be, people are going to be blindsided by it. But then in hindsight, it'll be so obvious that it was building up to this.
I don't see how it could not be obvious. I had a question I was going to ask you, and I hate it because when it'll leave my mind, probably come back to me in a second. But before we leave, you know, we mentioned remember the incident that happened, I don't know how long Trump was in his presidency, how long he'd been the president, when they had the supposedly, they're going to have, like, I'm saying, kind of like a million-man march in Washington, D.C., and there was the scuttlebutt that they were coming to the White House. They were going to try to overrun the White House and get Trump. And so Trump called in. They had the 101st Airborne, the 82nd. They had National Guard there. And then this is when I think I knew, Brad, that the country was totally gone. We had a total communist Bushovik dictatorship. General Milley, that four-star piece of crap, he countermanded the president's orders. I mean, the president, Supreme. And that right there, if that should have let everybody know it's over with. It's totally over with. And I'll say this one thing because you're the guest. I don't take up too much time. I would have done like Brother Adolf Hitler did. When I came in, if I'd have been the president, the first thing I would have done, I would have asked for the personnel files on the best. I would want anybody above rank of major because it become political. I would want the files, the Marine Corps, Army Infantry, Army Rangers, et cetera, and I would get a cadre of about 12,000 of my own bodyguards, a.k.a. the original SS was resolved for.
He just told everyone to go home, and then his last act was he pardoned a bunch of black rappers and Jewish criminals and let Jonathan Pollard out of prison, and then flew home to Florida, and that was the fascist dictatorship that the left convinced themselves, you know, what it was, and they're willing to completely torch the whole system to get this guy. It's just breathtaking. Yes. It's a breathtaking, you know, case of, you know, seeing, you know, a mountain out of a molehill.
And I'll tell you something that amazes me. I mean, we're almost out of time, but I got to get this in. Several years ago when they were torching the cities, I was over there. We have a place called Shelby Farms. James knows where it is. It's the largest urban park in the United States, the largest Central Park. I do a lot of work grass over there. I saw this couple over there, and they were amazed I was not wearing a mask, and they were doubly amazed at some of the stuff coming out of my mouth. And they said, if you did that up there in Minnesota, they were around Minnesota, St. Paul. And they said that the place was being burned down. And I said, well, you know what? And we were talking about these cucks, except hating cucks. And I said, well, you know what? That's going to change. That's going to turn around. Because when these feral animals start burning down their homes, it's going to be a different story. And they said, oh, no, no. They said they know people, white people, who had their homes burnt to the ground, their businesses burnt to the ground. And you know what they said, Brad? They said, well, we deserved it because of all of our white privilege and all of our guilt and all that stuff. What do you think about that, Brad?
Well, you know, they actually had a vote in Minneapolis on abolishing the police department. And, you know, in San Francisco, as Jared brought up today, they want to make every black $5 million just for being black. God. So, you know, people really, it's insane.
Brad, we're completely out of time, my brother. Thank you for coming on. It's been an honor having you on. It's been way too long getting you on. I'd like to get you on again sometime soon. Say hello to James.
We will.
Say hello to
everybody
down there.
I will.
Check you later,
we'll
Brad. Thank you a lot, buddy. Bye-bye, buddy. Well, people, there you have it. We're getting ready to transition to the third hour. We'll be right back after this message. We'll run out of time to tell you who's coming on. Be right back, folks. Third hour coming up.